At least 22 people, including 9 children, have been killed and 65 wounded in Israeli airstrikes on Gaza. This after Palestinian militants fired rockets towards Israel after days of violence at Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque, a holy site for Jews and Muslims. Yesterday was Jerusalem Day in the city, with Israelis celebrating a national holiday. But the celebrations by Israelis are seen as a deliberate provocation by Palestinians. Before we talk to Dan Williams, who's senior correspondent with Reuters, let's hear some of the sounds of the violence in Jerusalem overnight. Now, Dan Williams, good morning to you. And this date, it's always seen as a potentially sensitive flashpoint. But over the past few days, you've seen some of the worst violence in Jerusalem for years. Why the escalation?
Well, it's an excellent question. As you noted, these are long-running ideological and religious grievances coming into play. But again, there's been a perfect storm of more immediate circumstances. Now, one has to be careful in terms of establishing causality here. But just to name a few of the new elements, there's the fact that we're now in the Ramadan holy month, a Muslim holy month that involves all-day fasting, 29-degree heat. It can affect the public mood. The Palestinian political scene is also very unstable, given that elections that were expected, long-delayed elections, were postponed by Palestinian leadership that cited Israeli control over Palestinians in Jerusalem. Israel's conduct in Jerusalem towards 40% Palestinian residents who've never felt fully addressed in terms of civil rights and resources may have contributed to this as well. And as you noted, there is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which a compound with quite a history that Jews revere as a vestige of two Jewish temples in ancient times. Palestinians see whenever Israelis celebrate, wherever Jews celebrate, Israeli control over the area as a potential threat to what is a very, very important Muslim shrine. All of that came together with actually a legal case in a neighborhood called Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem, where Israeli groups, many of them with a definite nationalistic bent, have been pressing through the Israeli courts old claims on properties. Palestinians see these claims, which have been upheld by lower Israeli courts, as basically a legalized effort to drive them out of a city that is contested, essentially, and religiously stoked. All of that came together with what was quite a striking pre-signaled and pre-telegraphed warning by Hamas yesterday that it gave Israel an ultimatum. By 6 p.m. it would respond and say if Israel did not withdraw what it called soldiers and settlers from these two sites in Jerusalem. And it carried out this threat by actually firing missiles toward Jerusalem for the first time since the Gaza War of 2014. Many Israelis found that very jarring. I think it was actually very interesting that Hamas and another group called Islamic Jihad actually pre-signaled, gave a time at which they would launch these missiles. To me, it suggests both that they're trying to establish, both vis-a-vis Israelis and fellow Palestinians, their credibility, and potentially to give Israel a chance to prepare, to brace, to protect itself, thus effectively stemming an uncontrolled mounting of casualties on the Israeli side that may cause this to spill out of control.
And also, Dan, the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu saying Hamas had crossed a red line and talking about Israel responding with great force and indicating this could continue for some time.
Well, yes, I think Israel sees itself as really duty-bound to respond to what was something that Israelis hadn't expected. But we've seen this before. Generally, Israel, which has the upper hand militarily, says the response will take time. They say they're talking now about hunting Hamas and Islamic Jihad leaders. They say they've killed 15 of them in Gaza already. I think the Israeli approach is to reestablish deterrence by striking hard. The question is how hard. In 2014, you'll recall, this involved an Israeli ground incursion, and Israel effectively lost control of the timing. The Palestinian side proved adept at actually holding off the Israelis and making the war more protracted, I think, than Israel expected. This time around, however, I expect Israel will try to keep itself to shelling from afar. Airstrikes, what it calls precision airstrikes, I suspect the Palestinians would dispute that, given the civilian toll. I don't think we'll see a ground incursion this time for the simple reason that the ground threat, the territorial threat posed by Hamas in the previous war, specifically with tunnels they used to attack Israel from Gaza, does not appear to be the same, because Israel has since acted very effectively against the tunnels, including by building an underground wall with a sensor system that is meant to thwart and detect tunnels in advance. So potentially this will be, from an Israeli standpoint, a standoff war of airstrikes, potential artillery shelling. I suspect the Palestinians will try to prove that they can keep up their own rocket fire uninterrupted and disrupt as much as possible Israeli life. There's also talk about intervention by various players like the UN, Qatar, and Egypt to try and establish a truce. This is what we've seen again and again before. However, I suspect any truce will not prove long-running because, as we said at the outset, the basic grievances here, the basic disputes that have to do with ideology and religion may be unbridgeable, and it may just be a matter of time before the next round.
Dan Williams in Jerusalem, thank you.